got a cup for you tonight. Hungry for a word from you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, for a little backstory, a few weeks ago, our seminary in Max preached on the story of Jacob and Esau and the realities of family and what it means to really be yourself, no matter what that looks like. And he talked about what it means to honor who you are, to celebrate the giftedness that each of us bring. And this week we're catching up with Jacob 20 years later. Jacob has stolen his brother Esau's birthright, fled from his home and has lived with his uncle Laban in the last 20 years. Jacob had always been a clever opportunist, and this did not change during the years that he lived with his mother's family. During the time that Jacob has been away from home, he's married both of Laban's daughters, Leah and Rachel, accumulated wealth, herds of animals, and notoriety. He's had 12 children, 11 sons, and one daughter. And right before our chapter today, Jacob has asked his father-in-law for permission to go back to his homeland, the place that he has not seen because his brother threatened to murder him the next time he saw him. And after some additional tricks for both of these men, including switching their goats based on like which ones were spotted and which ones were not, I could go into that, but if you really like that stuff, just read it. But, you know, they did all that business, and then finally Laban said, fine, you can go. You passed this test, how to leave. So Jacob is on his way back, but he still is anxious about his trip. So he decides to send some gifts ahead to soften his brother's rage, hoping that maybe Esau won't be that upset that he's coming back. He then sends some messengers ahead to see what they can gather, and the message they bring back is, oh, Esau knows you're coming, and he's coming to meet you himself with 400 of his men. The gifts did nothing to stop Esau from being angry at his brother for what he had done to him 20 years before. So Jacob, rather than go ahead to meet his brother, right before we get to where he's sleeping on the side of the river, Jacob sends his wives and his children and his servants and all of his flocks ahead of him across the river. I don't know about you, but if I was angry and I was also Esau and I saw all of that, I would wonder, where'd my brother? without getting what he wants. So he says to this man, I want you to bless me. But before he will bless Jacob, he asks him his name. And he gives a surprising answer. You shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have wrestled with God and with human beings and have prevailed. And as the figure leaves, Jacob realizes that this person was not just some man. It was not someone his brother said to kill him, but it was God himself who has come. He has been wrestling all night with God. Jacob, alone again, renames this place Peniel, which means the face of God, for Jacob has seen the face of God and lived. In this place by the river, he has struggled with God, the one who has been with him all of his time. Although he has never seen God in his wandering. And this encounter deeply changes Jacob so much that he no longer has the same name. He can no longer trust in his own skills anymore. He is about to head home to a place he hasn't been in 20 years to a brother he hasn't seen, a brother who wants to kill him. This is the second time he's asked God for a blessing. The first time was when he was on his way. Told God, I will only believe in you if you take care of me. Which is not something that Abraham or Isaac ever said when they received the blessing. And Isaac still does not trust that God has his best interest in heart. But Jacob refused to let go, and so did God. Jacob would not let go of God until he was blessed. The man of the night said to Jacob that his name would be based on his encounter now. That Jacob would who has struggled with God and has succeeded. I believe it shows us that sometimes we must fight for the things that matter to us. For Jacob on the surface, it appears that he is fighting for his survival. But I believe he was fighting for a lot more than just that. He was fighting for goodness. He was fighting for blessing. He was fighting for answers. He did not just want to win his fight, but he wanted an answer from his man. After all of this wrestling, something that would make it worth it. Something that would make it worth it that he was putting his life and the lives of his family at risk. All for this blessing that he was promised from the moment that he was born. But was it really worth it? After all this time and all he had done to get this far. And this limp, we're not giving any clues about this injury. We don't know if it's permanent or if it's something that goes away. But we know that he is no longer the same person. And that even though he has been blessed, he has not been healed. Because God did not heal him from this limp. But he blessed him and he was never the same. There have been moments in my life when I have tried to stop wrestling with God, with the tragedy and miracle in his life. I confess to you that I have not been able to stop my wrestling. And maybe things happen, but not because of anything I have done differently, but because of the mysterious ways of God. I have a story to share with you about blessing in the midst. all kinds of therapy classes and learned how to do so much all over again. Adjusting to this new normal, this living with a limp, has forever changed my sister and my family. And it has certainly changed me too. There is nothing like waking up in the morning with news like this. And after working as a chaplain for 6 months with brain injury patients, I was terrified about what this would mean for my sister. I was scared, and I struggled. I struggled to see God in this tragedy, to see where God was at all. I felt like Jacob waiting in the dark for a blessing, striving with God, wanting an answer that satisfied my deep longing for resolution and reassurance. But I never got a good answer. What I got in his death was God's presence. The day of Maria's accident, my husband and I were on our way to the Grand Teton in Wyoming to backpack for a week with some of our closest friends and their parents. I wanted to cancel our trip. I wanted to turn our car around from Montana and head straight to California. But that's not what we did. We kept on driving to Wyoming, and I was angry. I was angry that this was happening right now. Thank you. wrestled our way forward. In this wrestling, we have each found hope. Marina has become like Jacob, one has prevailed, and she will never be the same, and her perspective on life is forever different. But what about you and me? What about each of us? Are you feeling like giving up today? Are you struggling to find answers? Are the circumstances of life overwhelming you and seeming to be too much to bear? Are you wrestling in the night like Jacob? Do not stop. There is goodness for you. It will not come without a cost as we come face to face with who we are. We cannot enter that kind of intimate moment without being vulnerable and fully ourselves. Jacob became more himself because of his encounter with God, but it led to his name changing and the receipt of a blessing and a limp, one that he may have had for the rest of his life. The struggles we go through are not God's fault. Rather, God meets us in them. So go and meet God with all that you have, with your anger, with your hope, with your loneliness, with your grief, with your longings. And like Bruce Cockburn so beautifully sings, kick in the darkness till it leads in light. In the name of the Father,